Ben, that's a bit near the knuckle. Never mind, Mr. Siegel. Never mind. Comfort yourself with the leading part in this daring sex drama entitled The Telephone.
Simple.
Act one, scene one. The North London GPO telephone manager's office.
What's that, Jim?
Telephone come.
Oh. So they've installed one at last, Jim. Call a meeting of all the people we keep specially for meetings. All right. And make it 3 o'clock.
Right. I'll put the hands over the...
Right,
GPO telephone type Rubal.
Silence! Silence! Silence, members of the Rubal Society. Gentlemen, this first meeting of the telephone managers will be presided over in his new underpants by Mr. Jasper Bass at 6:14.
Thank you, thank you. Settle down. First, I'll read this telegram here, what I've got. It says, good luck, and it's signed Dr. Hill. One of our lads has done very well since he gave up doing his turn at the wireless. Well, thank you.
Right.
Now then, who's next, Jim?
Me, and I'm bursting.
Oh.
I'm the area manager for Uxbridge, so there. Oh, shut up. I'm in enough trouble as it is. There's somebody in my district who wants a phone.
Good heavens.
Alarm, alarm. Oh,
yes.
Terrible. Super
alarm, alarm, rhubarb.
King Kong in my phone, you've got it all.
And what's more, he wants a colored one.
What color telephone does this fellow want?
Black, it's sickening.
Have you got the name of this sensual, pleasure-loving devil?
Henry Albert Sebastable, Queen Victoria Crown.
Disgusting!
I've held him off for 8 years, but my supplies of our printed refusal cards was running so low. The things they use them for, I tell you, I've...
May I interrupt here, gentlemen?
Yes, you have. Again. You have interrupted.
I happen to know that Mr. Crumb is the inventor of the black telephone.
What? Black?
Rubbish. Argy-bargy. What about Edison Bell?
Edison Bell, sir, invented the brown telephone.
Gentlemen, if we know what's good for us, we'll give this chap Crumb a telephone immediately.
Hello, listeners. The job of installing Crumb's phone fell to me, Ned Seagoon. Yes, thank you. As you've guessed by that tune, I was the senior outdoor line layer, Uxbridge area.
That is quite true. Seagoon had just finished a brilliant military career by climbing over the wall at Aldershot. He arrived at Mr. Crumb's house.
Oh, good morning, Pressman. 3 pints, please.
No, you don't understand. I've come to install a black telephone.
4 pints and a small brown.
I'm sorry, I've only got a large black.
Oh, a large black? A 50 bumpet. What type of talking are you doing there?
I'm from the GPO.
We have nothing to hide.
And we have nothing to show either. But do come in, Gopo. You'll, GPO... Y'all pardon the mess. We can't help it, really. We're bachelors, you know.
I see. Why don't you get married?
I would, but Moriarty doesn't love me.
Are you Mr. Crumb?
No, I'm Gritpipe Fine, criminal by appointment to the Royal Household Cavalry.
Oh, really? Why are you living in a hole in the ground?
Something to do with the shortage of money, you know.
Mr. Crumb's moved there.
Yes, to 17A Africa.
17A Africa. Can I get there down the Finchley Road?
Eventually, yeah.
I'd better write that down. E-V-E-M-C-H-E-W-2... A-L-Y. Eventually.
Oh, wait, 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 wait.
Right. Goodbye.
No, look at... But come back to little boiling bubble. Listen to me. Before you go to 17A Africa...
Yes?
Would you take this suspicious-looking brown paper parcel wrapped in string and tied with newspaper?
Certainly. Certainly. Okay, William. 17A Africa, and step on it!
8 months later.
Oh, mate, I'm nearly shagged out here, I am. You sure we're still in the Finchley Road?
Of course.
Now, let's see. We've used 48,000 miles of cable. William, you'd better nip back to Acton for another telegraph pole.
Oh, mate, I'm fed up going back. Like port comes only from Portingal, you know. It's dark when I get home at night, and as soon as I get back, I have to turn round and cycle like the clappers to get back here in the morning.
Yes, yes, I see. It does seem a long way out here. Perhaps we should ask our way. Pardon me.
Sorry, boy, I'm a stranger around here.
Bludgeon. Oh, Max Gildray, go be.
As Neddy staggered blindly through Africa, at the extreme end of the Finchley Road, he little knew he was within a telephone call still of the British telephone supply depot. Your own God.
Well, I can't sit here all day.
Stop.
A palladium-type, comic-type gentleman has just collapsed in a heap outside.
I know. I tripped over that heap myself only this morning. Now lift up his wig and let Balvanel have a look at him. Steady, lad. Have all medical attention. Fan him with a thermometer and put a copy of the Lancet under his head.
Oh, goodness gracious, European-type seriousness. He is seriously unconscious, Major.
No wonder. I'll just lift that heavy wallet off him. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 15, 18, 23, 25, 30, 39, 80. No wonder there were 40 pounds pressing on his chest. Now we'll restore the circulation in his arms with the toad ointment. Just put this pen in his hand and run it lightly over this check. There.
Where am I?
In the red.
Thank heavens, a British bank manager.
He's delirious. Hold him down while I force this brandy between my lips. Yes, you look much better now, lad.
So do you.
Now, if you'll pardon me, I'll just stand in this hole facing north.
Why?
It's all the rage, you know.
Dad, it must be hell in there.
Further down it is. Now, lad, what brings you to the steaming hell of Africa from the steaming hell of Finchley?
I'm looking for the inventor of the black telephone.
Ah, that's Crun, Henry Crun. So you're looking for that cool, high-stepping fool, are you? Him and his sensual Caucasian knee dancing. That's how he tempted poor Minnie away from me. Oh, Min.
Come now, Major Dennis, please.
What? Oh.
Dry your tears on this marble statue of a handkerchief.
Thank you. Poor Min, abducted in the prime of her twilight. Oh, it's a long story. I remember it all started on the road to Mandalay.
That's it.
Where the flying people and... Oh.
Yes. Yes, but that's your pigeon.
So it is. How did it get out? Well, take this pigeon away and bring me a clothes brush.
You've been spotted, Major. Father, a simple question. Where is 17A Africa?
17A? You're on the wrong side of the continent.
Oh.
Odd numbers are right over on the other side.
Well, could you let me have two white hunters and a safari to escort me?
For a consideration. Thank you. You'll find them encamped in a hole in the ground at Kor-Wataganga.
Right. Right. Goodbye, Major.
Remember, tonight is Henry Hall's guest night.
Splendid. I'll wear evening dress and earplugs.
Oh.
Sitting over an all-night campfire, awaiting the arrival of Segun, sit two all-night suntanned veterans of the safari.
Time for Betty Bicycle.
Awkward. I'll slip on my pajamas.
Why? Are they greasy?
Oh. You made a funny joke, then.
Yes. Shall I tell you another one, Nickel?
Fine.
Yes, I like telling stories. This story is only for big boys.
Oh, I'll put my hat on then. Okay.
Yes. You won't tell my mum, will you, Echo?
No. That's just between me and you.
Yes.
Okay, now then. Go on, Mother. Go on. Come on.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh, you naughty boy. You naughty fellow. Oh, it's a good job for you. I'm a man of the world. Oh, dear.
No, Nettles. That was not the end. It finishes up. To get to the other side.
No. That's not as funny as the first one. Oh dear. That was funny, Bato. Why not funny? Why did the chicken go to?
No. You do not appreciate my modern style back of matchbox type joking. You see, one of these days I shall be another no coward.
We can't afford another no coward.
I do not wish to discuss further.
Oh.
I have got other matters to think of.
Oh, but I'm steady now.
There's something in my bed.
The phantom struck again.
It's a crocodile.
Oh, a crocodile. That's lucky.
A crocodile lucky? Of
course he's lucky. He's got a bed to sleep in.
I'll just switch out the candle. Speak. Oh. Good night, Dickon.
Good night, Bottle.
Hmm.
Why did a chicken go to road? Buddy, stop, Buttle. You're a man of the world, Buttle.
Who?
Buttle, don't laugh. Don't laugh. I'm in danger.
Mac.
Give me the gun, quick.
May.
There's something moving on the end of my foot.
That got rid of it. My body.
My toe.
Excuse me.
Get out. Get out. Get out.
Silent Blunden. Stop all this hern, hern, hoon, hoon. Hern. Who do you think you are?
Napoleon.
You're Napoleon?
No, but that's who I think I am.
If you're Napoleon, I'm the Duke of Wellington.
Want to fight?
Listen, little glass of water. I'm Neddy Seagoon. I believe you're the two guides to take me to 17A Africa.
Yes, we have got all your stores ready for the journey. Check. One naked human bath chair, one long-term record of a naked woman.
With clothes on, of course.
No, clothes are on the other side.
Left on the record over.
Aye.
Then I trust you don't even play that record in the dark. Mr. Langton, a demonstration on your quand.
Oh, he's going to quand.
What's a quand, Morton?
With the sun directly overhead and the ground directly on the foot, telephone engineer Seagoon pushed forward to install the black telephone before the rains came and the Joneses went.
Now you, Tonka. We'll need a telegraph pole here. Budnock, hand me those two bananas from my binocular case.
Yeah,
thank you. I think that's funny. I can see a French sign. Caution, Le Sahara Desert ahead. Le warning, no telephone engineers. I say, we can't stand for that. Put up a British sign immediately. There. No hawkers, no circulars. I say, can't you read? No hawkers, no circulars.
Me, you're not a hawker.
Then you must be a circular. You know that? If you're not a hawker, you'll be a circular. You must be. English joke.
African silence.
Let me tell you, back in England, I'm on the TV every week.
I know. That's why I come to Africa. Listen, little corny, steaming white comic. Mr. Kwan sent me to find out if you've got a parcel from Moriarty for Blamey.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten all about that.
So had the listeners. And that is why I mention it.
Good. Now listen, Chief Ellinger. You show me where Bwana Kran lived, and me give you 6 white man's telephone calls free.
Right. You follow me.
Meantime, in a little love nest at 17A Africa...
Stop playing that saxophone in Africa and put it back in the fridge. You know they go off in this weather. You see, there goes one now. Namin, tonight you must wear your tiara and long raffia drawers.
Mata, Henry.
It's Henry Hall's death nightmare. and I shall entertain you with my sensual Caucasian knee dances.
Sit up with your Caucasian knee dance. Rolling your trousers up and clacking those knobbly knees together.
You mean my knees are losing their magic?
Yes. I want to go back to Dennis Gladbrook, the bounder of Roper's Light Horse.
Don't you be a mixed up creature. Mean. Stop the sinful Marilyn Monroe wobbling you.
But the miller taught me something in a hurry. Sorry, Henry. The first careless rapture is over, darling.
Someday I'll find you. Moonlight behind you. Down to the dream I am dreaming. As I draw near you, your smile, my little smile.
During this tender duet between Jimmy Wheeler and Liberace, I'd like to remind listeners that approaching this scene is Chief Ellinger, followed on foot by Eccles, Blue Bottle, and the headlinesman from Finchley Telephone Exchange. These little snippets of information do help, don't they? Well, I won't hold up your fun any longer. If anybody wants me, I shall be in the residence lounge.
Seventeen A Africa, the end of the Finchley Road.
Right. Eccles, break the door down by inserting the key in the lock.
All right, you high-stepping cool fool, you. Now, where's that fair Minnie Bannister?
I haven't got the fair.
Then, you shall have to walk.
Ta-da!
Minnie, I'm taking you away from the squalor that you live in to the squalor that I live in. Someday I'll find you.
Well, that's one character less for Sellers to play.
Jack, have you got the parcel from Moriarty?
Yes, I have, Henry. But first, where would you like your telephone?
In my study, please.
Where's that?
Inside my house in North Finchley.
I say, that was a bit of bad luck for Mr. Seagoon, wasn't it? And now, of course, I know you're all wondering what was in that brown paper parcel. Well, good night.